You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown is facing backlash for referring to an RNZ staffer of Indian descent as a Muslim terrorist. Leaders in the Indian community have expressed concern about how this fits into a recent rise in anti-Indian rhetoric. In the last financial year, Auckland Council received 24,000 reports of illegal dumping, and broadcaster John Bridges has suggested that naming the upcoming City Rail Link be given a better name than simply CRL. One of the top suggestions includes CARL, or the City of Auckland Rail Link. For City Counselling this week, Thursday Wire host Caden asked Councillor Julie Ferry about all of these topics. They began by asking what Julie Ferry's reaction was to Mayor Wayne Brown's comments towards an RNZ staff member.
I think the first thing to note is that they were unacceptable and that it's frustrating because I think we're all trying to create an inclusive society that is tolerant and friendly and welcoming. And when stuff like this happens, the mayor always says we need to stop doing dumb stuff. This was dumb stuff. And I'm baffled as to why he said it in the first place. It's completely unnecessary and, unacceptable.
This also comes after Shane Jones' butter chicken tsunami comment. Are you concerned about bigotry directed towards Indian members of our communities?
Yes, absolutely, and that's part of the thing with this comment, right, is it doesn't come in a context of isolation. It comes in a context where nationally and internationally we are dealing with a lot of racism and frankly hate and bigotry, and it contributes to that. And while he, I think, did not intend to contribute to that, I can say that knowing the guy reasonably well, I don't imagine that was on his mind. It did, and that can't be unwound. The thing that I find really awful about all of this too is that while, the mayor has apologised, he apologised privately before it was public, he then apologised publicly. He is going to take a number of steps. We've in conversation about what those will be, and they will include things like next time he's in Christchurch, he will visit one of the mosques where a white supremacist terrorist, murdered people. He's meeting with local Muslim community. We're doing stuff with the Ethnic Communities Advisory Panel as well. The fact that these opportunities for learning have to come out of situations of unnecessary harm. I think with someone like Shane Jones, who I don't know, but what I see is there is a ramping up of this kind of stuff ahead of an election at a time when the Indian community has already been under pressure. We've had this unacceptable abuse of graffiti occurring. A community that already is often targeted, and I remember things from when I was a kid, a very visible migrant community as well. That stuff is, it's not okay. And I hope that what we're seeing with some of these comments from the likes of Shane Jones, which is clearly quite a premeditated comment, is what's called an extinction blast. So this is the final sort of death rattle of this kind of unacceptable racism. I fear that it's not. I hope that it is.
And I want to switch now to ask about the recent numbers around illegal dumping in the Auckland region. Do you see illegal dumping in Auckland as a big issue?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. And it's something I get raised with me reasonably often. One of the problems we have around illegal dumping is that there are some people who are, a small number of people who are doing it at scale and as part of their business model. There are other people who are doing it out of sort of almost desperation, or they don't know what to do with some of the big items that are genuinely difficult to dispose of legitimately, particularly if you don't have a trailer or a tow bar or access to storage space, right, where you can store it until you have an energetic collection. And part of the problem we have is that at the moment a lot of the tools are the same for both types. What we've been doing over time is ramping up things like hotspot inspections. There are mobile cameras that move around hotspots and can actually catch people who then are prosecuted. Quite a reasonable proportion, not enough, but a reasonable proportion of illegal dumping, we actually know who has dumped it, and they are made to go and pick it up, and that does happen. But part of what we need to do is, some of this is the commercial stuff, like, for example, people dumping heaps of tyres in the bush. That stuff needs to be absolutely, you know, prosecuted. But with the other stuff where it's like people genuinely don't know what to do, or they see somewhere where someone's put something and they think it's okay to put it there, some of that's happening too. We actually need to work with neighbourhoods about, okay, it's, you know, these are the legitimate ways to do this. And some of that is also about product stewardship. It's about, okay, when a bed company sells you a mattress, that they will, and perhaps by law, maybe there's a levy or something that goes on the product to help them pay for this, they have to take away the old mattress, those kinds of things. With companies like Ecosa, they usually do that. They deliver it and they take it away, but that's not necessarily widespread. A lot of people are doing these kinds of things secondhand, and that stuff's kind of, you know, invisible in that sort of product stewardship space as well. So there's a whole lot of different things happening there. And in a consumer society where a lot of stuff's disposable, I would love it if part of the conversation about illegal dumping is also, okay, how do we shift our products, the things that people are buying and consuming, to be easier to dispose of, that we think about their end of life when we're creating them and selling them and regulating them as well.
You've answered what was going to be my next question pretty comprehensively already. No, that's okay. But is there anything else you'd like to say on either how much this is costing the council or what you see as potential solutions to this problem?
I think it is expensive. And I think that it would be helpful if we had some more tools from central government, if we were able to set some of those things like fines, if we were able to set those levels ourselves at ways that help with the cost recovery. What would be amazing would be being able to roll out our community recycling centre program faster, because that will mean that people have in their own areas places that they can take stuff to dispose of it when it's that stuff that's quite hard to do. And they'll also have, you know, be able to access networks around them that, you know, can help them to understand, oh, this is what you do with that, and this is what you do with the other thing. So some real support to get that network. I think we've already opened something like 15 across the region, but we've still got a number of areas that don't have anything like that. And so we've still got work to do.
And I want to switch now to ask about something which I saw this week and I think is just a bit of fun. Earlier this week, John Bridges published an opinion piece in Stuff suggesting we need a more creative name for the CRL than just the City Rail Link. Is this something you have considered?
I think it's a great idea. I think the reality is that once the City Rail Link is operational, it won't really exist anymore in its own right. It will just become part of the system. And so people won't necessarily say, hey, I'm getting on the CRL, or I quite liked the name Carl. I have a couple of friends called Carl. One of them spells it with a K, though. So shout out to him. He actually used to be on the BFM board years ago. So I don't know if he's still listening. He lives in Dunedin now. But anyway, I did quite like the name Carl. But I think what will happen in reality, all respect to John Bridges, who I am a big fan of his work, and he's a constituent too, is that people will say I'm catching the train. So they won't necessarily say I'm getting on the CRL, because the CRL will just be absorbed into the whole system. So really appreciate the positivity and the creativity towards this exciting transformation project that's so nearly there. And maybe we need a name for the whole network. That would be cool. And I loved all the different acronyms that people were coming up with. That was really creative. Thanks for letting me know about it.
That was Auckland Councillor Julie Ferry speaking about Mayor Wayne Brown's controversial comment towards an RNZ staff member, the latest statistics on illegal dumping in New Zealand, and alternative names for the City Rail Link. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.